Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation with Tom Ferguson, director of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Well, this year the Bureau has revamped paper money. What was the process for redesigning and issuing new bills?
Well, Paul, actually we started the most noticeable change to currency in 1996 with the introduction of the $100 note, and we've just completed it down through the 5 and 10, which were introduced in May of this year. That's actually the first major change, a noticeable change to the currency in over 70 years. So it's something that the United States does not do lightly. It's something that the United States does only when there's a real need to change. We are used to our currency. We like our currency. And quite frankly, we're very conservative in our currency designs. It represents stability. It represents our economy. And it's something that we take a great deal of pride in. But the decision to make the change was based on the growing threat of technology. Color copiers, computer printers and scanners, which can reproduce pretty pictures of currency. And quite frankly, are now used more and more to counterfeit currency, not only in the United States, but around the world. So in order to combat that, to stay ahead of technology, a decision was made in the early 90s to change the currency. We set up a task force, involved the Federal Reserve, Secret Service, and the Bureau of Engraving and Printing under the direction of the Department of Treasury to determine what features should be added to make the currency harder to counterfeit. And it was really a fascinating study. It involved several different tracks. One was a contract we had with National Academy of Sciences, had a blue ribbon panel. They reviewed all the potential features and recommended a certain menu. In addition to that, we advertised in the Commerce Business Daily and received about 125 submissions of security features and techniques that we evaluated. We ended up buying about 25 of those as far as small quantities, put into production, tested adversarial analysis, and evaluated, determined those that would be the most effective, most cost-effective, durable. They have to last as long as the note lasts. And that we could manufacture billions of times a year, and ended up selecting the package that you see on the notes, hopefully, that you have in your pocket. They incorporate a watermark that's embedded in the paper, a security thread, which is a strip that says USA in the denomination, embedded in the paper. Color shifting ink down in the lower right-hand corner changes from green to black. The large portrait, which is very high quality, hard to reproduce. And several machine-readable features that are used by vending machines and also by bank machines to authenticate the currency.
What's been the public reaction to the new bills?
Well, as I said, we are hesitant to change our currency. People have grown up their entire lives. You and I spent our entire lives with that old design, and suddenly overnight we changed it. Any change was going to cause people to react. The common reaction was, it looks like Monopoly money. I often carry a Monopoly 20 in my pocket to demonstrate to people it looks absolutely nothing like Monopoly money. Monopoly money's small, all one color, and no picture of a person on it. But it is different, and I think that was the comment. I think the most noticeable comments are it looks different. It looks fake because it, in fact, is different, and it's that subliminal acceptance of our currency. Most people don't know whose picture's on a $10 bill. It's the same person who's been on there every day of our lives. If it was a different person, you would notice, but you don't have to focus on it. It's always been the same. You subliminally know whether or not it looks right. Suddenly, we change that subliminal picture. So people had to get used to it. A long way to say, a lot of people didn't like it. Younger people tended to like it. They thought it was modern and was changed. They were a little bit more ready for a change. Internationally, people like it. They see their currencies change. In fact, they still think ours is a little dull. It's all one color, all one size.
How much of a threat is counterfeiting, and how does the Bureau combat it?
Counterfeiting is not an economic problem. Last year, there was approximately $40 million of counterfeit currency passed on the American public. And that's out of about $560 billion of currency in circulation. Most of us, including me, have never received a counterfeit note in a normal transaction and lost any money on it. So for most people, it's not a problem. The concern is to stay ahead of that, to keep it that way. You can't afford to let counterfeiting become such a large issue that people lose confidence in their currency. That subliminal acceptance I was talking about, that faith and confidence in your currency, is essential to the smooth transactions of business. We readily accept a piece of paper in exchange for goods or services every day and don't think anything of it. Once people start to question that and to be concerned about that, then the system starts to balk and not work smoothly. So we need to stay way ahead of it, to be thinking of techniques to combat counterfeiting prior to their becoming an economic issue. So we combat counterfeiting literally every day by looking at ways we can redesign the currency, add security features, make it easy for the general public to recognize and authenticate their currency, make it easier for vending machines to recognize and authenticate their currency, make it easier for bank machines to recognize and authenticate their currency, and make it easier for law enforcement people to be able to investigate crime, be able to detect counterfeit, be able to find the counterfeiter, arrest them, and hopefully put them in jail.
Before you became director of the Bureau, you chaired the task force in 1996 that recommended the different security measures. And I'm curious, how has counterfeit deterrence technology evolved in the last 4 years?
Well, it's evolved considerably in areas that we don't necessarily even see. What's really changed a lot is, for example, when I started in the business, even prior to that, back in the 70s, 80s, currency was primarily used person to person. You went to the cashier in the bank and cashed your check at the teller window, and you received cash. You spent it at the cash register and gave it to the cashier. They looked at it and put it in the drawer. More and more now, people get their currency from an ATM. They spend it at a vending machine or other types of machines, gaming machines, fare card machines. So it's machine to person, person to machine, and I guess someday machine to machine. So there's a lot of things that have to be built into those notes that allow those machines to authenticate and denominate. In addition to that, this technological world of computers and digital information, now we're looking at digital ways of combating counterfeiting, building codes in the counterfeit so that computers can recognize and not reproduce. So it's moving even a simple document like currency note into the computer age.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.